Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Big dummy, you're listening to the Dome Patrol podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Jason, and today we'll be diving into this Sunday's game against Tampa for our game preview.
Joined by Andre Fletcher from the Buccaneer Bay.
Man, shout out to everyone. Shout out, happy to, be a part of the team. And I'm happy and excited for this matchup, man.
It's got to be an interesting season for you guys. I'm sure coming in, I mean, the division stinks. We all kind of knew it. We just thought the Saints were going to be the best of the bad teams. But especially after losing Tom Brady retiring, but you bring in Baker Mayfield, and the season kind of started a little slow, but now the Bucs are one of the hottest teams in the NFC, rattling off a few wins in a row. You guys all also beat us earlier in the season in the Dome. It was kind of shocking and maybe the beginning of the unraveling of the Saints season and people realizing, hey, oh shit, this isn't going to be good. But you guys are playing really well and are really taking control of the division. It's kind of wild. Looks like Baker's kind of found a home.
Yeah, he has. I think he comes back on a 3-4 year deal next year. Shout out to Dave Canales, what he's been able to do. I think Baker just needed the belief or to have somebody in his ear that believes in him and knows if I put him in the right situations, he can do this. With Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, we're able to put Rashad White in the passing attack more, which we didn't utilize early in the season. And now you see him goes off for screens for 30 yards, 35 yards for a touchdown. So he's opening up. We also got a little better at running the ball at the end of the season too. So I think everything is just coming along in the system and everybody is just playing on one beat.
Can I recommend that y'all sign him to a 3-year, $150 million deal, similar to what the Saints gave Derek Carr. I think it's a good base model for Baker Mayfield, since him and Derek Carr basically have had similar careers. So y'all should definitely overpay him. 37, 39 a year would be perfect for him.
He's definitely earned it if he wins the division, right?
I mean, for sure, right? I mean, he's a division winner. You gotta reward the man.
Listen, I look at that Geno Smith contract, and I'm just praying it's around that line.
With a whole lot of exit strategies just in case.
Just in case, you know. But give him the money, man. He really deserves it.
Yeah, I'll say I've never been a Baker hater. I liked his attitude in winning in college. I wasn't sure how he was going to be in the NFL. I thought he was, he had such an up and down career that I mean, you never know what kind of coaching and game planning there was in Cleveland. You saw some spark last year with the Rams. You're like, well, there's kind of a quarterback there when he's got a couple of receivers. It was strange seeing that in a few games, but it's hard for him playing for the Bucks, because I don't want to pull for him for sure. But I've never disliked him and his kind of competitive attitude and fire that some people kind of get annoyed about.
And there has been a lot of there's been a lot of mention of him lately among Saints fans, because you could have gone for signed a shorter deal with a prove it contract with a guy like that, instead of just giving Carr all this money. And if a Carr turns out to suck, which has kind of happened so far, we're stuck. There's nothing the Saints can do, and it doesn't look good going forward. And it's kind of really worked out for Tampa this year.
So to me, it's a good and a bad to have that. You know, sometimes you would want him to be more mature, but if everything is rolling the right way, the locker room takes on his attitude. And it's a great attitude to have as a team. Just week to week, just his mentality. You see some of the runs that he has. He doesn't go down without a fight. And I think that was huge for like the players to see that early on, to see, okay, you're fully invested in the team. You're trying your best. We're trying our best to prove other people wrong throughout the whole season. I think they just came together on that one accord.
Yeah, whether it's a team or just a player, effort makes up for lack of talent. The Lions are playing really well this year. Well, the last 2 years they were competitive in games and they were lacking in talent in some of their systems, but they just had that dog mentality. And you're seeing that with the Raiders this year, who are not a talented team with what they're putting on the field, but they're very competitive in games and, you know, playing teams much better than them. And I mean, either blowing the doors off of a team it's not that good, or even beating the Chiefs. Baker's maybe that guy. Like, I like his attitude, but I mean, he's not the prototypical big armed, you know, huge, you know, 6'4" quarterback and all. So some of that, he needs to have that attitude that makes up for it, versus the Derek Carr attitude that we've seen has kind of been more tantrums and whining than come run through this wall with me. And which sucks, because when we first signed him in the offseason, that's the way he kind of brought the team together, was, hey, we're going to go run through this wall together. And like, we're all going to do it. And like, it just hasn't seemed to come out that way on the field, where Baker is that guy. Baker will fight for his guys. I would see him fighting a defensive lineman that outweighs him by 100 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, Derek Carr hasn't kind of followed through with the script that he was reading everybody in preseason. He, like you said, Wesley, he was definitely along the lines of, you know, follow me, I'll run through this brick wall for you. And at the first sign of adversity, he's just kind of immediately,
why did you guys push me into that wall?
Like, exactly like
I was just standing still and you guys knocked me into the wall. Well, so Andre, kind of tell us, we're on the offensive side. Let's do offense first and then defense. What have the Buccaneers figured out this year? What is the mentality, and like, what's making them successful first on offense and then on defense?
So first, previous years, you know, when we had Brian Leftwich, we just had a super team. So it wasn't like you had to scheme up a lot because of the one-on-one matchups. You just had them all over the field. You had a Gronk, you had an AB on the other side that could take care of the slot or the middle. Dave Canales moves around Mike Evans. He moves it around. He does whip routes, in routes, dig routes now, instead of just the post in the corner. He set those routes up now, and it is totally different. He moved Chris Godwin to the outside instead of predominantly to the slot. So he's moving guys around he also wants to establish the run. When we ran the ball last year, you know, it was four times we rushed it. Did Brady just throw us home? Now we have to. Like, we're more 50-50. If you go down all of our box scores and you see it's like run pass attempts 36, runs 32. It's always an even divide, and that's what you really want. And he stick to it. Even when we couldn't run, we was bottom. We was 32nd week 7, week 8, but he kept with it. The offensive linemen got better. Luke Getteke, listen, man, one of the worst right guards I seen play football last year. We put him the right tackle. He's one of the best young tackles. Worst moves from right tackle to left tackle. Some people questioned it. Some people was like, you don't move an all-pro talent and the blah, blah, blah. He proved everybody wrong. Fantastic. Cody Mock, which was weird. He was better at pass protection, run blocking early on. And then since the Indy game, he's turned on. Robert Hainsey, he turned on. So I think the offensive line unit is much better. We use also Rashad White is used in the pass attack. Add along with Mike Evans getting moved around all over the field, you have a deadly potent offense.
Yeah.
It was interesting, too, because weren't there a lot of trade rumors about Evans in the offseason that he maybe didn't want to be here?
Yes. Right up until the first game.
So his demand was really, you know, I've been here for so long. I helped through everything. I kept quiet when AB wanted the targets, when Chris Godwin wanted the targets, just to make people happy. Just solidify my future here. That was more of what I got from Mike Evans. That's why he's more of, I'm going to talk about it. This is the deadline. And then you haven't heard a word. So all that did was rise up his bag to whatever he thought he was going to get. And probably another 5 to 8 million more, man, per year. He's killing it.
I really thought that was going to be a huge distraction for y'all this year. And I thought that Mike Evans wasn't going to handle this the professional way that he has. And if he would have handled it unprofessionally, I wouldn't have blamed him, because he deserves to get paid by Tampa Bay. What he's 100%. Been through with Jameis, and then being there and trying to calm down on Antonio Brown, and then now for Baker. Like, Mike Evans sticking there and being the face of that franchise, like, he's been through some stuff and kept his mouth shut for a long time. So I'm seriously, I really thought he was going to be a big distraction for y'all during the year. But like you said, he made the choices, and now that guy's going to go get $25 million a year or more, kind of guaranteed for a few years. He's fixing to secure the bag for sure. And then, so I guess we probably should have, started with just bringing everybody up to speed of what I said about the winner of this game. The Buccaneers, in order to not win the division, would have to lose this week to the Saints and next week to the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Saints would have to win both weeks against the Bucs and the Falcons. So the winner of the, I think that the Bucs could bench Baker Mayfield and beat the Panthers with whoever y'all's backup quarterback is. It was Josh McCown there. So I don't know who's there.
Oh, no, it's Kyle Trask.
I told somebody earlier today.
Oh, yeah, still got Kyle Trask.
Maybe not Kyle. What I specifically told somebody earlier today is that y'all could bench Baker Mayfield to keep him healthy the last week, and y'all could beat the Panthers with Ian Book. And I believe that. I'm not sure if you can do it with Kyle Trask. but with Ian Book, I think that's
fine. You talked to some Bucks fans, he should have been starting months ago. So hey, you
that's
know
so funny. So just to bring that to speed, like I don't think there's any way any iteration of this Bucks team can lose to the Panthers. The Panthers are one of the worst football teams I've ever seen. I think y'all could rest a whole lot of people and be just fine no matter what happens this week.
Bryce Young.
My goodness, man, that's you're happy he's in the division though, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you imagine if CJ Stroud was over there and we were like, oh, seriously, like, I mean, like, yeah, we're figuring this out, we got some veteran quarterbacks, but this guy's gonna be a game changer.
Listen, CJ Stroud in the second half didn't have to punt against my defense. I'm so glad I'll have to play him two times every year, bro.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad it's the Panthers are falling apart.
Yeah, I if if we had Lattimore playing this week, I'd feel like there's a sliver of a chance because I know Lattimore can shut down Evans, but without him, I just don't know. And you know, White's been running the ball really well, and that's kind of been an issue with the Saints. The run defense has kind of been a struggle. I mean, a lot of the season has honestly been a struggle. I think our cornerbacks have played well, but other than that, it's – and outside of a game here and there, there just hadn't been any consistency, at least on the defensive side of the ball. We were supposed to be this great defense, but it's an older team, and it's just – I'm wondering if some of the players are starting to mentally check out.
I wanted to ask because one of my favorite players on your team – I had a favorite player on your team. I know it's kind of terrible to say, but what happened to Pete Warner?
Well, he got injured last year, and so he looked like, for the first half of last year, like the future of linebacker in the NFL. Like, he was absolutely tearing it up. So he went out with the injury, and then he just hasn't made the necessary next step of getting better the next year. If anything, maybe the injury regressed him a little bit. He's not terrible. He's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. You also... It's so hard to say with DeMario, because DeMario keeps getting older, but he is honestly playing the best he's ever played in his career as far as the linebacker role. Last year he blitzed like crazy, but what he's doing at linebacker is, I think he's still rated as the number one right linebacker in the NFL by PFF. I mean, which is crazy, crazy. So I don't know if that Werner's playing bad. It's just, I mean, DeMario is just a dominant force sitting right next to him. And then Werner hasn't taken the step to get a year more of growth and better.
I think Werner's lost a bit of speed compared to last year. I think that's been the biggest difference. He's not as quick as he was last year, and I don't know whether the injury is has caused that that drop off in speed.
He's still a smart player. Like, you'll see him. Somebody's running like a sweep reverse or something like that, and he'll just be there and make a tackle in the backfield. Like, he is smart about diagnosing what's going on. Like James said, he's gotten a little bit slower maybe, but also DeMario's. I mean, it doesn't help either that we have not a very good defensive line, and our defense is centered around the defensive line holding their guys so that these two linebackers can make plays. They're not doing that as well this year. We don't have good enough starters or depth on the defensive line. So it's making it harder on the linebackers. And we've actually had multiple games this year where some of our safeties cornerbacks have been the leading tacklers instead of DeMario. Now, it's still DeMario more than half the time, but last year it was every single time it was either DeMario or Pete Werner were your leading tacklers. When it becomes your cornerbacks and safety being your leading tacklers, that's not really a good sign for your defense.
It's not. Not at all, man.
So, no.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say. So, moving to the other side of the ball. Yeah. I mean, just doing a quick glance at the stats, nothing really jumps out on Tampa's defense. But I mean, was there a slow start to the season? They've been playing better lately. I know the schedule's about as easy as ours is, so maybe some of the stats can be skewed. But I mean, is there anything that's jumped out or any surprises on defense? For Tampa, for the Bucs this year.
Oh, you're talking about the defensive rookie of the year candidate, Yaya Diaby. 6.5 sacks and 10 tackles for loss, man. He's only started 5 games. So that's what he's doing, man. It's Kancey is second in tackles for loss. He missed first 4 games of the season. Like, these guys. We hit it out the park in the draft. We wanted to build up the trenches, and that's what they wanted to do. First, second, and third round picks out the park. That's the difference.
Man, this is the second week in a row we've talked to somebody whose team has actually hit on draft picks. Meanwhile, we've got a second rounder, defensive end Foskey, who barely plays, and third round running back can't get on the field.
Kay Otten, 4th round pick. Trey Palmer, 6th round pick. Christian Eisen is the undrafted slot corner that we have.
Must be nice. I miss the days of having a good draft.
But that's Levante David being Levante David, you know, one of the best off-ball linebackers in the league. And Antoine Winfield, to me, has been one of the 3 or 4 best safeties in the league, up there with, like, Kyle Hamilton and, like, Jesse Bates. He's... 5th, he has 5 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recoveries, 3 picks. I think 4 sacks. Like, he's an all-around safety. And there's a lot of games you go back and look, he makes incredible plays. So
you see him in the highlights every week. Every week when you're watching Red Zone, he's making a play at some point during a game, sometimes multiple, whether it be, like you said, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, pick six. He's always there making plays every week.
So, yeah, I think the youth is what really kicked it off. When Kancey and Yaya started to start together and started to add with Vita Vea, because we don't really have an edge rusher outside of Yaya. JTS has not developed for us. He's not been good. Shaq Barrett, it's probably a rotationary player right now. After the Achilles, he's just not the same. He doesn't have that explosion. So when we started him and he started to take off, he helped it stopping the run. He's our most powerful edge stopper. Like, he's a freak of nature. So starting some of the younger guys probably helped out. And, you know, he was starting Ryan Neal up in deep thirds. He had to bring him to the box, play D. Delaney a little bit more for back thirds. So I think he started to get comfortable and know the weakness of the players and be like, okay, I can't just sit here and watch this happen week after week. I have to make an adjustment. And luckily, that's what Bowles have done the back half of the season.
Must be nice.
Now, is there an area where your defense is potentially weak and can be exploited?
We give up the most explosive plays in the league, and we 32nd in yards passing yards allowed.
And aren't the Saints number one in the league in plays over 20 yards? Or we were close at one point. Like, it was our offense is bad, but our explosive plays were like one of the best in the league. So
it's our standard offense that sucks. Okay, so there's a little bit of hope then. There's a little bit of hope. We will have Shahid. I don't think Olave practiced today, but I would think Olave is going to play. Okay, he'll play.
And I think Carlton Davis is not out of concussion protocol either. So I think it's just going to be Dean and McCullum on the outside. So we won't be full force.
I think from the injury report, he was still a DMP today.
Nope. Y'all got chances. Carr just have to click. I mean, he has to show up. And I just think Taysom Hill probably needs to be used a little bit more from what I've seen in the red zone, especially.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, the red zone.
He has success every time he touches the ball, just about. Like, it's kind of ridiculous not to have him touch the ball 15 or 18 times a game.
So one thing you will notice as you watch the game, you'll be amazed at just the blandness of the offense, the bad play calls, the lack of use of certain players, especially in the red zone. Graham's been active a bunch of games, but when he plays, he scores touchdowns, and Taysom Hill should get more work, doesn't get more work. Our offensive line's been iffy this year. We really thought it was going to be I don't know that it was going to be a strength, but we didn't expect to have to worry about the offensive line. And while they haven't been awful the last few games, it's just not what they expected. The Saints really haven't been able to run the ball a lot at all this year. And they just can't sustain drives.
That sounded like our offense first half of the season. We couldn't do anything because he wanted to run the ball, and it was 2nd and 9, and let's run the ball again. Now it's 3rd and 7, and you're just not helping. You're not helping the team like that at all. You're not. The defense get worn out.
Now, going this late into the season, so we're, you know, two games left, and you're about to lock up the division and win it, which is always an accomplishment to win the division. Where do you sit of figuring out how real any of this is and going, okay, winning the division is one thing, but we're potentially winning the worst division in the history of football? And, like, I know the Saints, like, one thing that even with us is our, you know, when our record was 500 last week, and we were like, yeah, but we have a 500 record against one of the easiest schedules in the history of football. Mm-hmm. Where are you reconciling that, where you're going like, okay, the team's getting better, but we're playing well against bad competition, like, of trying to figure out, like, are we actually good, or are we just the best of the bad teams?
I think coming in this year, just with the expectations, I wanted to see how much talent was on the roster. Because now we're dealing with negative money. Brady is gone. We have to figure out what we're going to do next. So this year, to me, I just wanted to see who's actually playing, who deserves to be on the team, deserves to be a starter. Are some of the older players coming back? Can they play good? Or they're past their prime to the point to where we don't have to give them the money. And then next year, we're top 10 in cap space. So we add the pieces that we need in another draft class to also add to what we need. I think we could – this is a good team. I was telling people before the season, it's too much talent on here to tank. I thought personally just with – 8 of 9 of the returning defensive starters on a top 10 defense, top 11 defense in the league, it's hard to say you're going to just win 2 or 3 games, especially when the defense had you in the games for most of the season last year. So it was more of watching talent, seeing where it would grow. What do we need?
What does Baker do? Is this good Baker or bad Baker?
Because I was already looking at quarterbacks, if I'm being honest with you. I was already watching draft prospects. I was looking them up. And then he just balled out. And I'm to the point to where, like, we're going to probably pick 20th. We're not getting a quarterback. Right. All the cornerbacks is probably going by the top 12 picks, top 12 or 15.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about Jaden Daniels going to Tampa.
The thing that y'all are looking good for right now is that, I mean, potentially the way where it looks like it's going to be is y'all going to host a home playoff game against probably the Cowboys. The Eagles just have such an easy schedule that I think they're going to win that division. And for all the hope that the Cowboys have had, the Cowboys have been, they're a different team on the road. They're bad on the road. They just went to Florida and played really bad against the Dolphins. I could see y'all having some hope of just controlling that game, slowing it down, keeping it a low scoring game, and having the team that doesn't travel well, you know, lose another game in Florida.
We have to run the ball. That's what Buffalo did. They just gave it to their running back the entire game and said, just win the game. And he did. So just have to run the ball, man, against Dallas. But honestly, I feel better against Philadelphia if we played them. I don't like how the team looks. It doesn't look good the past month.
I agree. Well, I think even all year when they had their start off 9-0 or whatever, I was like, four of those games they were not the best team on the field. And
yeah,
I give somebody credit. It's who wins the game and scores the most points, and they were pulling out games in the fourth quarter. But for 55 minutes, they were not the best team on the field a whole lot this year. It was a weird thing.
So yeah, it seems to be it's not a strong NFC to where I would feel like we would get blown. I don't think we'll get blown out by Dallas or Philly if we played them. Yeah. Would they win? I would probably take them to win, but are we getting blown out? Or you know, you're just walking out of there and the quarterback got his cap on in the fourth quarter? I don't think so.
So yeah. How confident are you that y'all win one game of the next 2 weeks and secure the division for a home game?
I thought we won out a week ago. I think we would win out because I didn't like about Jacksonville. Jacksonville was playing bad football. If you watch Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is getting hurt and miraculously playing the game the next game. And it's crazy. You could tell he had a different injury each week and they're just keep bringing him out. And I just didn't think it was a good thing.
Very similar to what we did with Derek Carr. Derek Carr's had a couple of concussions, had some other injuries. Now just roll him back out there.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with him. He keeps getting hurt. Just it's crazy, man.
Our coach is so stupid. That's really what it comes down to. Our coaches are just so dumb.
I really thought Pete was going to do something different, man. I really did. I thought the quarterback was the thing that was going to light the fire and everybody. And I had y'all winning the division this year. I really did. I looked at the talent. I looked at the weapons that you had. And I picked you. I had a second. I do not like Atlanta at all. I didn't like the team. I don't like the coach. And the Panthers just didn't give Bryce Young any weapons. So I knew they wouldn't be a threat. So
also, that was without knowing that Bryce Young was just a terrible quarterback.
Yeah. It's even worse. Hey,
so just so you can say, we did the same thing, Andre. We picked us too. and we were all wrong.
Yeah. At least I picked this with a 9-8 record, and even then that was I don't think we went to 10
before the first week.
I got peer pressure before into week. It. I got pressured into
You were so happy to go to 10 wins.
Oh, I got fooled by Derek Carr, like a lot of us.
Well, this is we do like to get to actual score predictions. Just so we can begin with nonsense. James, what's your score prediction for the Saints versus the Bucks?
You know, this season for the Saints has been so stupid and so annoying. I would not put it past the Saints going into Tampa and winning
this
weekend.
Stop it.
It's the kind of stupid shit we're going to do.
Said this against the Rams. You know what? Yeah. This is just like the Saints. We're going to upset the Rams.
Yeah. Well, yeah, got to be right at least one time. So I'm going to go the Saints.
Keep
gonna
trying. I like it.
The Saints are going to win 24-20.
Oh boy.
There you go.
I think the team's going to be fired up to win the division. I think the crowd's going to be fired up. I think they get out early and the Saints fold, even though one of our big things is we don't quit. I think this is the week it all comes kind of crashing down. Maybe Carr gets hurt and Jameis comes in. I don't know. But I think Tampa wins 27-13.
Okay, so I swear what I was going to say is I think we do the typical thing where I think this game is like 27-13 with 10 minutes left. So it just is a blowout that we're losing. And then we end up getting back and losing like, you know, 30-24 or something like that. So I'm gonna go 30-24 as the final score. But like every game that the Saints have played the last month, it actually looks worse than that. Andre, take us home. What kind of score prediction do you got? I'm picking the Bucks. I didn't say that clearly. I'm picking the Bucks to win 30-24.
I think we clinched the division in front of the home fans, man. I have it 24-21, actually. I think it's probably going to be a little bit close just because it's a division rival. And I just can't imagine us just beating up on y'all. I just don't see that, you know.
That's how this division is. Like, besides the Panthers, when the Bucks, Falcons, and Saints play each other, you actually have no idea who's going to win, even if the one team's way more talented than the other, and one of them has Desmond Ridder as his quarterback.
Oh my God! If you would have heard me 10 months ago, I called that man trash when he played us the last game of the season.
Me too, man.
And I stood on that, and people was just, "Oh no, he's going to unlock everything." I said he has bad eyes, bad feet, bad hands.
Me and James talked about. I hated him coming out of the draft. He had all those numbers. I'm like, he can't throw a football accurately. Like beyond can't read a defense. He cannot throw a football accurately. Like I was just like, nope, don't. Don't like him. I didn't know why everybody was trying to have him sneak into the top couple rounds.
Oh.
But 24-21, yeah, I could see it being close. You know, definitely a final score like that. It's nice and stressful for everybody. And puts hope in the James and Jason
hope.
And Jeff will have hope that we almost pulled it off. And then it'll save DA's job because he only loses by a little bit. That's what we're going for.
he's got these good looking losses.
So is DA coming back next year or
it's a big debate going around. He should. We all agree that he shouldn't. We just don't know a lot. None of us really have faith in the organization as a whole that they're going to get rid of him.
Was it Schefter or Rappaport that put out there that he
I think
was,
it was.
Was that Rappaport?
Yeah, I think it was Rappaport.
So Rap Sheet put out that last Friday that the Saints were they were or was it the day before the Rams game? It was somewhere around the Rams game.
That the
Saints were planning to bring Dennis Allen back this next year. I mean, in the small sliver of hope was like, listen, I'm never gonna root for the Saints to lose, but the small sliver of hope that is if we just do happen to end the season with a losing record, maybe that changes their mind over the next couple of weeks. But who knows?
Oh Jesus! Yeah. Okay,
he's not coming back. We all have faith that they'll at least do the right thing and not bring Pete Carmichael back.
Okay.
Dennis Allen doesn't deserve to be the coach of.
I thought he was gonna get fired middle of the season the way people was in uproar yep. about everything.
The Saints don't do that, though. They don't fire.
Yeah, that's not really
the organization doesn't fire. But I think the Saints are just staring.
To be fair, they don't fire you at the end of the season either.
No, you're right. Right. They keep you way up past your expiration date. Yeah, I just the Saints have a long rebuild ahead of them, so it's going to get worse before it gets better. So if this Tampa thing is legit with the way the division is, unless Atlanta gets a quarterback, could be an easy couple of years for Tampa.
For you guys, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Oh man, that you just put a smile on my face, man. You gave me another Christmas.
God, I hate that. Damn it.
Well, man, Andre, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And can you tell us listeners where to find you if they want to come on and either congratulate you or talk trash to you on social media?
Got you. You can find me on Twitter at Buccaneers Bay Podcast. It's on Twitter, TikTok. I have a link on the Twitter, on the TikTok, Facebook, Instagram pages as well. If you just go on and you'll find everything. But I do appreciate all of you guys for having me on and, letting me talk. This was good. This is my first one, clashing up with anybody else on FFN.
Well, we do it for every game. So next year we'll plan on speaking to you at least twice. You know, that's if by some crazy way we're not facing each other in the NFC Championship game in a few weeks.
Oh. You just
never know. I mean,
so. Oh, I know.
Listen, I'm asking for Lotto numbers if we're in the NFC Championship, man. I'm asking yeah. Lotto numbers for you.
But thanks, man, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah,
no problem, man.
Cheers, man. Thank you,
y'all, man.
Yep, thanks for coming.
Cheers.
Please, oh please, let's talk about something else before I cry.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.